The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. I'm sorry the streaming is in and out. It's right now, it's down again, and I apologize for that. Of course, if you're listening on that and don't have the streaming, you can't hear my voice, right, Bethany? See, there you go. I don't know what to recommend. I already know. I do. Yes, I do. Oh, the listener already knows. Sure, absolutely. So I apologize for that. You just have to be like my buddy John B. there and get the old AM radio out, plug it in, and huddle around like we used to have to do. It would just be like, you know, the back in the days of the Lone Ranger and the Shadow and all kind of. Anyway, this morning, hey, good morning there, Carol. How are you doing this morning?
Great. How about yourself?
Another day in paradise. What can I tell you? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest this morning. Her name is Carol McCulloch. She's the vice president of the Oyster Restoration and the Oyster Restoration Project Manager of the Phillips Wharf Environmental Center in Tillman Island. Did I say that right?
You got it right, Al.
How about that? What are we going to talk about this morning, Carol?
We're going to talk about our citizen-based oyster restoration program, which is part of Marylanders Grow Oysters.
Okay.
MGO is sponsored by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources in partnership with a bunch of really cool partners like Oyster Recovery Partnership, the University of Maryland, and actually the Maryland Prison System, surprisingly enough.
The Maryland Prison System.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So we've got MGO has over 30 tributaries involved, something like 8,000 cages overboard, and Phillips Wharf has 600 of those. So,
wow.
We're one of the larger participants in all this.
Sure. Now, tell us about the Phillips Wharf Environmental Center, where it is, what you do, and that type of thing.
We call it PWEC for short, so it's less of a mouthful. We're located right across Knapp's Narrows in the old Harrison Oyster House.
Right.
We purchased that a couple of years ago. We're very lucky to acquire that property, and that's our new environmental center and outreach center. We're also keeping that as a working waterfront, so right now we have a partner in there who's buying oysters and shucking oysters, so you can come down and actually see that operation in action and buy oysters.
Wow, you can buy them right there at Phillips Wharf Environmental Center, PWEC for short.
Yeah.
Folks in government love to, and NGOs love to use those acronyms.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, how long has this program been in effect at PWEC?
This is our fifth year. We've had 4 years of successfully putting baby oysters overboard, and we've just started our fifth year in August.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about how it works. You said there's, you know, private dock owners, there's people who have commercial operations, there's, I guess, housing communities that have public docks and things like that. They're all growing oysters, right?
Exactly.
How does it work?
It's essentially, you need to have 18 inches of water accessible to you, and it needs to be salty enough to grow oysters, which, of course, down in Tillman it is. And we have private property owners. We've got marinas involved. Bed and breakfast. Some of our watermen cooperators actually hang cages at their dock. And the way it works is you sign up with, if you're in our service area, you sign up with us, and we generally ask folks to host a minimum of 4 cages. We have some folks that do 2. And we have people who have up to 20, depending on the size of their facility. The Oyster Recovery Partnership delivers spat on shell from Horn Point Hatchery to our facility there on Tillman. We put it in the cages, and we actually deliver right to you. Not every MGO program works their deliveries that way. That happens to be how we do it.
Right.
You hang them at your dock. If you want to do more than that, you can rinse them every 2 weeks to every month, scrub off the cages, keep the cages clean, flush them up and down, or not.
Or not, whatever.
We have plenty of growers that don't. It's kind of benign neglect.
Right.
The oysters will grow just fine.
Okay.
They grow a little better if you keep them clean, but
sure.
It's not critical.
Right.
The main thing is to keep them out of the mud.
Right.
And also, when it gets really cold, to make sure that they stay underwater.
Yeah, that's usually a good thing for a living organism.
They don't really like being frozen in air.
No, exactly.
And then beginning of June, we come around, we collect your cages.
Right.
We dump the oysters overboard on a sanctuary in Harris Creek.
Right.
We make an effort to spread them out so they're not all in just one big pile. We
store
the cages for you. We clean the cages for you. And
give them back
all again.
Wow! So it's an ongoing process. You've been doing this for 4 years, and again, how many different growers do you have altogether?
We have 110.
110 growers.
Yeah,
people that are involved in this project, and they're producing oysters to restock the oysters in the Chesapeake Bay on the traditional oyster beds and in the sanctuaries. Is that correct?
No, this is entirely restoration. So none of it goes out to the wild harvest beds.
None of it's available for harvest. It's all restoration. So explain to our listeners a little bit about what the benefit of having oysters in the Chesapeake Bay is all about, just briefly.
Well, the big benefit is they filter the water, and so they help clean a lot of algae out of the bay because they eat that. They can also help get sediment out of the bay because as they filter, they trap the sediment and they spit it out. It falls to the bottom a lot faster because they've consolidated it and it gets heavier, and so it goes to the bottom faster.
So you're saying that the sediment is not adrift in the stream of in the current and things like that.
Right.
Boom, it's on the bottom.
Okay. Yeah. And that's the big benefit, but they also provide a huge amount of habitat for all sorts of other things to live. Little tiny fish, little crabs, stuff that other things eat that
sure.
We like to eat, so that's why it's
May worms.
Fishing on an oyster bar.
Yeah, sure, of course. May worms,
because, you know,
course,
all the
in May.
And perch and croakers and everything are down there eating the stuff that likes to live on an oyster bar.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's I said brief, and that's pretty brief, and that's exactly what we are hoping to do, is to increase the amount of oysters in the Chesapeake Bay so that it helps to benefit the bay.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty simple. The more oysters, the better the bay.
Absolutely.
I got it. All right. So tell me about your growers and the volunteer efforts in a little more detail. Who helps? What do they actually do? I know you said, I know what the program does, but tell me about a typical day in the life of a volunteer.
Well, for our growers, a typical day might be going down and pulling up their cage,
mm-hmm.
shaking it up and down in the water a little bit.
Right.
If they've got water available on their dock, pressure water, they could get the hose out and squirt the cage off and kick some of the fouling organisms out of that and just put the cage back overboard. Some of our growers are really into this, and they will open the cage up and they'll pull the shells, the culch out that the baby oysters are growing on.
Right.
And these things start off as, you know, little pencil points.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And as they get bigger, I've got growers who photograph the shells. They've got shells marked. They know, you know, they,
right.
Every month I get a little email that says, look, you know, here's a quarter and here's how big everybody's getting.
Wow, cool.
But we also have volunteers that aren't growers. They don't have waterfront. They really can't participate in that way. But they help us do all the other stuff, mainly the deliveries of the cages and pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And they're my truckers. And I can't say enough about these folks. It's particularly when we pick up the cages, it's an extremely dirty job.
Sure.
For
those people who haven't rinsed their cages off.
Even when you do rinse them off, it's still dirty.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do get some cages back that look like flower gardens. They're just covered with bryozoans and stuff. But these folks come out twice a year. They get a map and a list of properties and addresses, and they're the ones that go out and hang the cages off your dock. They pick them up in the late spring.
Right.
We have a group every year that comes down from the National Aquarium in Baltimore, a group of students. These are city kids that are looking for authentic outdoor experiences.
Sure, sure.
And to see these kids get absolutely covered in crud with these cages.
That sounds like fun.
They run our power washers. They clean 500 cages. They're just an amazing bunch of kids, very enthusiastic. And then, of course, our watermen. I can't say enough about the guys that donate their time, their boat, their gas, and they actually haul the oysters and baskets up Harris Creek and host our volunteers on board who put the oysters overboard.
Well, all right. Let's take a little break here, Carol. We'll talk about some of our sponsors right now, including the Maryland Fishing Challenge. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more about the program and whatever you'd like to talk about. We're here to serve your interest and talk about MGO. How's that?
That sounds great. Thanks.
Hang on. All right. The Maryland Fishing Challenge is underway for 2016. That's right. Started the day after Labor Day, runs till next Labor Day. Maryland Fishing Challenge is free. It's a year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for every recreational fisherman and woman in Maryland. Eligible fish include all the game fish in Maryland, about 70 different species from the Atlantic Ocean to the Chesapeake Bay to all the freshwater streams, rivers, and ponds and lakes. And eligible fish include all the game fish, like I said. Freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species are the categories. And then there's a youth division, too, that's connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. All you do is catch a fish of a notable specified size. You get your official angler award certificate and an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win, well, who knows what kind of great prizes. I'm not sure what's coming up for 2016 yet, but we'll certainly... can tell you that the folks at Bass Pro Shop and Bill's Outdoor Center and Costa and others have all committed at this year's event to help. So we don't know what's coming, but we'll certainly try to bring you that message when it's time. And they did give away $25,000 in cash last year. So you never know. And the fish right now are biting everywhere in Maryland. They're biting in the bay. Some of those big stripers are starting to come in. They're biting in all the rivers. They're biting in Deep Creek Lake. And I'll be up there, as a matter of fact, at the end of the month. I'm going to go on a pike fishing trip. Hopefully, Alan will be entered in the Angler Award program next year. We'll see. Now is not the time to stay indoors. So get out there and go fishing. That's all you got to do. Go fish. Official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex, the Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, we're back, and let me tell you about Clyde's Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, and you know what? Hunting season is underway. Muzzleloader season is right around the corner, and we want you to check out the full line of muzzleloading accessories at Clyde's. However, I'd like to talk to you about Browning Firearms. If you like shotgun sports, they carry the 725 Satori Sporting Clays shotgun, which is an over-and-under, beautiful over-and-under, just set up for, you know, shotgun sports, sporting clays, trap, skeet, if you like. But if you're really into the trap and the skeet, there's the BT-99, the ideal competition shotgun for trap shooters of all ages. That's right. Now, if you're into hunting, I want to tell you there's great waterfowl guns out there. There's the Gold Light 10-gauge. If you like 10-gauge, it's a great firearm. Talk to Billy down there about the performance of the 10-gauge if you like that. Then there's the Maxis, which is an auto loader that has the power drive gas system that helps to reduce the recoil. And, of course, the other semi-automatic firearm is the A5. And I will own an A5 one of these days. The most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated auto loader on the planet. 100,000-rounder, 5-year guarantee. Make sure you see all the models of the A5 at Clyde Sports Shop. For deer hunters, there's the BPS pump. It comes in 12 and 20 gauge rifled barreled deer models, as well as 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10 gauge models in the BPS pump shotgun, featuring what they call DuraTouch armor coating. That's the camo coating that's on there, and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity camo. Comes with choke tubes too, and it's all yours at Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget about the X-Bolt high-powered rifle. The best deal on a high-powered rifle right now is the AB3. The A-Bolt 3 synthetic firearm from high-powered rifle from Clyde Sports Shop and Browning comes in calibers like 270 and 30-06 and 308 and 300 Win Mag, 7mm Mag, Winchester Short Mag. There's about 10 or 12 calibers that it comes in. It's a synthetic stock. It's got a 3-9 Redfield on it, and it comes in a case. And it's a great value. It's the best buy out there for firearms right now for a high-powered rifle. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Deer hunters, the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge returns this season. By donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. And you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region plus junior hunt days drawings. Just donate your doe through any FHFA shear processor and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org.
Start your day with Sean and Frank, Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Dinner. crab cakes and rockfish too. We thanked the Lord and said the blessing, but what we forgot to do was to thank the man who by hand helped put food upon our plate. The man that dipped the crabs, cooked the fish, and cut the bait. The man that works our rivers, he's our neighbor, he's our friend. His backbone and his focus, the way he makes his living. I'm talking about the man. Talking about the water man.
Talking about the water man. Hey, yes, indeed. We are with Carol McCulloch. She's the coordinator of the Oyster Restoration Project. Well, she's the manager of the Oyster Restoration Project at Phillips Wharf Environmental City. Jeez, I could talk today. It'd be better, wouldn't it be, Carol? You know old Bird Dog Wheeler and the Road Kings, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I thought we'd throw that out there since they're in your backyard, that's for sure. So, all right. So, tell me where we go next here, talking about the Oyster Restoration Project. You talked about the volunteers a little bit. You talked about some of the landowners and the care of the program. How did the program get started?
Well, the overall program was one of Governor O'Malley's 10 points for oyster restoration was citizen-based oyster restoration.
Right.
And that got started back in 2008 with
right.
One tributary, the Tred Avon.
Right.
And that was managed and still is managed by Department of Natural Resources Shellfish Program. And they had 800 cages, and it was a big success. It's a very popular program. It's one of the things that people can do as opposed to, we always get told what we shouldn't be doing
right.
in terms of environmentalism, conservation.
Right.
It's something we can do. So there was a lot of interest in expanding that into other areas. People kept calling and saying, can I have cages in my creek? So it's grown from there. We got involved in 2010. There was a program in Harris Creek that ran for a year and then was abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the growers in that program kept calling Phillips Wharf and saying, why don't you all take this on? And we're small, and we're a lot smaller at the time. We weren't sure we really wanted to take on that amount of work and logistics. And Chris Judy, who's the director of NGO, called me up and said, can you help me to do with all these cages in Harris Creek
that
have been abandoned?
Right.
And it kind of snowballed from there, and all of a sudden I found myself managing a cage program on Tillman Island.
Beautiful.
And it's seriously just grown from there. People are excited about it. We do recruit directly. We send out direct mailings to waterfront property owners to
sure.
try to grow the program every year. But that's kind of how it got started.
Okay, well, you know, every startup has its fits and starts, that's for sure. I mean, you know, there's always something that tends to want to stand in your way from the beginning of a very noble project. Trust me, I know that trying to get the Maryland Hunting Coalition off the ground, but it sounds like it's become a labor of love for pretty much everybody involved.
It is. But the nice thing about it is particularly from our standpoint, we do a lot of monitoring. So we get real accurate data about what we're doing and the success of the program. So
mm-hmm.
I can go back to my growers, I can go back to my board of directors, and I can go back to DNR and say, this is exactly what we've done this year, this is what we've done over the entire course of our program. And we can say that we have planted 360,000 oysters on our restoration site and be very confident in that number. And every year...
You know, that's interesting that you can... Because any successful endeavor has to have a monitoring like that. You have to be able to point to you know, what's getting done. And I'm sure that, you know, you said that there's some landowners or some, you know, pier owners that put their cages over and never touch them, you know, and that's their part of the program. You know, okay, I got four out there and I'm helping grow oysters in the Chesapeake Bay. And then you've got others that you mentioned they do show a lot of concern and they're almost like pets, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I'm getting this vision here in my head of somebody going out and picking up their cages, and as the oysters get bigger, they take a little Sharpie and draw eyes and noses and mouths on them, and you know, you never get any of those back in, do you?
Not quite to that degree, no.
Of course, that would be me,
what I see is people will drill holes in the culch and put colored cable ties in them so they know which ones are which. I've had people number the shells. They do
write on them then.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. All right. That's neat. But yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to throw throw this into the mix as something that you're doing for the environment and doing for the health of the bay and you want to become involved, it's great to be involved. And, like you said, this is a slow process. This is not something you see immediate results from. You don't go out there and see, quarter size oysters the next day. It takes a while.
No, it takes about 9 months, and they get to about an inch and a half.
Right.
And they grow a little bit better than they do in the wild in the cages, but mainly the cages are there to keep the crabs and
everything else from
eating them when they're so tiny.
Sure.
And but then we go out every year. We go out with the Maryland Falls Oyster Survey. They pull a dredge on our site for us so we can get some animals back and do some science and do some demographics. And we actually get data. We know we've got four-year-old oysters out there. We generally know what the year class distribution is in that population. And we know that we're being successful.
How do you judge the age of an oyster? Is it size only, or is it more detailed than that?
We've got known age stuff, so we know that everything on our site we've pretty much planted it there.
Right.
So we know how old they are. It's size.
Okay.
But once they get to about 5 or 6 inches, then there really is no good way to tell how old they are.
Got it. Yeah, at that point it's like, okay, these are mature oysters and we're done figuring out how old they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
So I will assert that something is 1, 2, 3, or 4 years old, and after that it's just 4+.
Makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. So, all right, well, very good. Did you tell me how many landowners? 110.
We've got 110
participants.
Growers.
Okay. And this is Tillman Island, Harris Creek, and Broad Creek, all in Talbot County, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Where can somebody get more information?
You can go to our website,
okay,
which is www.pwec.org.
Okay. Okay.
And go to the programs page. And it's the top menu bar. Go to programs. And that little menu will have an item called Tillman Islanders Grow Oysters.
Okay.
And that brings up our whole oyster program page.
Okay.
You can also go to the DNR website and just search that for MGO or Marylanders Grow Oysters if you're not in our service area.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get more information about the program as a whole. You can find a map of all the cooperating tributaries.
Okay. And that'll give people more information if they want to learn about the program, and then to get in touch with you guys. How do we do that if we want to become a participant, if we want to raise oysters?
If you'd like to join us on that oyster growing webpage for PWEC, there is actually an electronic sign-up form.
Okay.
You can fill that out. You can email me.
Okay.
And I'm at oysters@pwec.org.
oysters@pwec.org. That's great, Carol. I'll tell you what. What else would we like to talk about here? What else would you like to tell the listeners about the program?
Let's see. I've talked to you about how we monitor. I've talked to you about how we get people signed up. Right. One of the interesting things is the way we get cages produced.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
The Maryland prison system.
Right. Yes.
Those are the guys that build all our cages for us. So the Department of Natural Resources provides the materials, the wire and the line and the fasteners to put it all together, but the prisoners actually build the cages, so they don't cost as much as if they were produced in a commercial operation.
Sure.
And the prisoners get a really great lesson in producing, you know, in doing good for the,
right.
the environment. I've seen some interviews with some of the prisoners that have been involved with this, and
sure.
they're really proud that they're doing something positive.
The question is, do they ever get an oyster dinner from time to time?
Yeah, I have a feeling that's not
happening, huh?
Yeah.
All risk and no reward. Sorry, guys, you're in prison.
Yeah, but you know, when you get out, hopefully there's more oysters in the bay, so there's more available for people to eat.
When those guys get out, you ought to give them a gift card for some place that serves oysters, don't you think?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fair? I mean, you know, spend all day building oyster cages.
Yeah, get a few on the half shell. I mean, it's nothing better.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell me about the health of the oysters that are grown in this program. You know, we have an endemic disease among oysters that's called Vibrio in Maryland, and, you know, sometimes people that have immune systems that are compromised are at risk of that disease. I've been afflicted with a minor case of it that put me down for about a week, and I didn't like it after eating too many raw oysters. But tell me about the program, and if there's any. Go ahead. I'll let you go.
Because these are all grown for restoration.
Yep.
They're not supposed to be eaten. They're all put on sanctuary sites.
Okay, that makes sense.
At least for our oysters, you don't have a risk of getting Vibrio from eating them.
Right.
And we encourage all of our growers and all of our volunteers when you're handling these things to, you know, wear gloves and protect yourself
right.
so you don't get cut, because that's the other potential source of
right.
Vibrio infection.
Sure.
And that's out there no matter where you are.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's anywhere in the bay.
Yeah. So that's essentially, if you're going to be working with anything, whether it's oysters or fishing or crabbing, wear gloves, protect yourself. If you get cut, make sure you clean that out quickly and thoroughly. And if anything starts looking strange, get yourself to the doctor and get yourself to the hospital, because Vibrio is no joke.
I know. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, let me ask you, can people visit PWEC?
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, Phillips Wharf is, we started just after Hurricane Isabel. Kelly and Jerry Cox Kelly's a native Tillman Islander.
Right.
Her family goes back five generations. She comes from a waterman heritage. And Hurricane Isabel took away their crab shanty, which was the last crab shanty left on Tillman Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was thinking outside the box. She worked for the state for a number of years. And she realized that the way you save the bay is not by filling up water bottles and filtering it, but by talking to people and getting people to see and experience and appreciate the bay firsthand. So she started an environmental center right in on her own property, and it's grown. We've now left that property. We're in the oyster house at the foot of the Knapps Narrows Bridge, and our mission is to inform and inspire and involve people to become better stewards of the Chesapeake Bay. And we have live exhibits, so you can come to Phillips Wharf and see bay critters. We've got touch tanks, so you can actually pick up horseshoe crabs. You can pick up razor clams. You can touch terrapins. We have our signature outreach program is called the Fishmobile, We have a converted bookmobile that goes to schools and festivals all around the Chesapeake Bay region.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Everything on board is alive. Everything on board is native to the Chesapeake Bay. And again, we've got touch tanks on board with horseshoe crabs and terrapins so that...
Sure. Now, let me ask you, Carol, did I talk to you at the seafood festival?
You didn't talk to me, but you talked to somebody because the fishmobile was there.
I know. Yeah, I know. And I talked to those folks, and the fishmobile is pretty cool. Pretty cool little thing. There were a lot of people going through there at the seafood festival.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's not just for kids. When I worked the fishmobile, a lot of times the kids are the ones that bring their parents on board, and the kids they're with it, and mom and dad are a little hesitant, but
sure.
It's really fun to watch a kid encourage her dad to touch a horseshoe crab because he's never done it before, and you kind of see the light go on. These things are really cool, living fossils, and the same thing with the terrapins. One of the most personable creatures in the Chesapeake Bay is a diamondback terrapin when it looks up at you and you know thinks that you're going to be dropping food at it.
I guess so.
Smile expression on their face.
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, Carol, look, we got to take a little break here, so hang in there. We'll put you on hold again, and I'll come right back to you here shortly, okay?
All right.
Hey, folks, it's the 2015 Annual Sportsman's Auction at Stauffer's Auction Company. Now, this is a live webcast auction that takes place today. Starts at 2 o'clock, but before that, go online to stauffersauctionco.com. Stauffer, S-T-O-U-F-F-E-R-S, auctionco.com. You can view 215 firearms and some other stuff there as well. Of course, if you want to go to the auction, it's today. It's located at 21140 Leetersburg Pike. That's in Hagerstown, Maryland. Now, of course, there's going to be a buyer's premium charge on the total of all your purchases, and that's just the way auctions work. But this is the 2015 annual sportsman auction, and all purchasers who are not local, like if you're listening in Pennsylvania or if you're coming from the Eastern Shore, you're going to need your own FFL to have your firearm shipped there as well. So you can see all the details on the website at stauffersauctionco.com, sponsored by Stauffer's Auction Company and my buddy Denny Stauffer. But make sure you go online and check it out. See all the firearms. There's some new in-box firearms. There's some classic firearms. There's some antiques. There's some collectibles. There's muzzleloaders, rifles, handguns, shotguns. It's all there at stauffersauctionco.com. And that live auction is today. You don't have to be there. You can register online and bid while the live auction is taking place. How about that deal? Talking about firearms, let's talk about Clyde's Sport Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. And don't forget, Clyde's is your fishing headquarters and crabbing headquarters, too. But let's talk about firearms. That's the A5, auto loader. It is the fastest cycling, most reliable, best performing, and softest shooting recoil-operated auto loader on the planet. 100,000-round guarantee or 5 years. It's got what's called the kinematic drive system. Yep, not gas-operated. It's recoil-operated, and it's ergo-balanced. You talk about a wonderful firearm for waterfowl or any shooting that you like to do with a auto loader. The A5 is it. It's also available in camo and black synthetic models. And I'd like to tell you about a high-powered rifle, too. There's the AB3, the A-Bolt 3, which is a synthetic black firearm. Comes with a 3-9 Redfield scope, comes in a case. It's available in all the popular high power calibers like 270, 30-06, 308, 300 Win Mag, 7mm Mag, even some of the short magnums as well. It's from Browning, folks, and that's all you have to say about that. And then for those of you who like a pump action shotgun, it's the famous BPS pump featuring bottom ejection. Doesn't flip the shell out the side and smack your buddy in the blind on the side of the head. It goes right out the bottom. The BPS pump is 410, comes in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge models. There's even 12 and 20-gauge rifled deer barrel deer models available. Again, it comes with that DuraTouch armor coating and Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo, and it is extremely, well, it's a Browning. What can I say? Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
This week on Fox News Sunday, you'll hear interviews with the top newsmakers of the week and analysis of the top news stories by our distinguished panel of political experts. This is Chris Wallace. Join me this Sunday at 5 p.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How high is the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats, 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past their knees. 3 feet high and rising.
All righty, very nice. There goes Johnny Cash, 3 feet high. He was singing about South Carolina, I believe. We're with Carol McCullough, who's vice president of the Oyster Restoration and the Oyster Restoration Project Manager at Phillips Wharf Environmental Center in Tillman. And hey, you've got something coming up here, Carol. Like to tell the listeners about. You got an event coming up.
We do. We've been talking a lot about oysters, and we've got a big oyster event coming up on November 7th called Oyster Jam. It's basically a big oyster roast.
Ooh!
And it's going to be right on our facility there at the foot of Knapps Narrows Bridge on Knapps Narrows. So you've got a beautiful venue. Oysters, raw, steamed, all kinds of ways. We got pit beef, pit turkey, live music. It's going to be a great time.
Who's doing the music?
Oh, gosh.
Ah.
I should know and I don't.
Yep.
It's a blues band, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, cool. Well, that's all good. But I'm looking at the poster right now. People, can you download the poster?
Yeah, you can. And actually, I'm going to go right to the website and
there's a link there to purchase tickets online if you want.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a hoot and a half, that's for sure, on November 7th.
Yes, from 1 to 4.
1 to 4 at the Oyster Jam at Phillips Wharf in Tillman Island. That's great. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Now look, you got a crab on your logo. Tell me about that.
Well, that is actually our old logo. We're in the process of getting the website updated.
Okay.
So we don't have the new logo up, but the crab is Phil. And
Phil?
Phil the crab, yeah.
Phil the crab. Okay.
From Phillips Wharf.
I got it.
We'll probably be keeping Phil around for some of our youth programs,
sure,
and children's programs, but we are updated now with... I think if you go to the poster, it should have our new logo, which is a heron and some grass. And
Actually, looks like a... Is it a heron?
Yeah, it's a green heron.
Oh, green heron. Yeah, I see that. I was going to say it looks like a bittern, but no, it's a green heron. You're absolutely right on that one. So that's cool. Yep, and, you know, I see those from time to time just about everywhere in Maryland, green heron. People don't understand. I know my buddy Tom knows where there are some green herons and some night herons in Maryland, but you see them flying across the road and you go, wonder what that bird was. Well, if you know your birds, you know what it was, and it's pretty cool because they fly at dusk. You know, I don't know if you see them.
Yeah, they're not quite as conspicuous as the great blues that everybody seems to identify with a bay, but they are here. They're a little smaller. They'll actually sit underneath. If you've got stringers under your dock, they'll sit under there.
Yep.
And fish. They have kind of a squeaky little call.
They're a cool bird, matter of fact.
Yeah, they are.
Yep, exactly. And it's loaded with them on the shore over there, that's for sure. So very good, very good. Well, we're coming down here to our last break, which will be a couple minutes, and then we'll be closing out here shortly. Carol, any points you'd like to make? I mean, if you just want to review bullet points with our listeners at this point before we break, and then we'll go from there and take a break and finish it up.
Okay, yeah. I'd just like to encourage anybody in state, if you've got waterfront property, you've got a little bit of salt in your water, you've got 18 inches of water, I encourage you to get involved with Marylanders Grow Oysters. Check out the DNR website and see if there's a program in your area. It's easy to do. Yeah, you can anything from benign neglect to making them your pets, and you're contributing to more oysters for the bay. A lot of people ask me, what about the poor watermen? What are you doing for the watermen? Well, the whole point behind what this program does is these oysters never get harvested, but they make baby oysters for the rest of their lives. And those baby oysters wind up, a lot of them are going to wind up on harvest bars. And that's oysters for the watermen as well as oysters for restoration.
Sure, because the larvae float with the current and everything else. They don't necessarily land back. I mean, it'd be nice if they all landed right back on the same oyster bar, but they don't always.
But yeah, a lot of them do, but a lot of them get exported. Most MGO sanctuaries are right out in the middle of harvest areas. Ours happens to be in the middle of Harris Creek,
right?
So it's not. But most of the other coordinators participants, most of the recruitment from those sanctuaries is going to go and help with the harvest areas.
Got it.
And at Phillips Wharf, we're all about trying to help people become better stewards of the bay, but we're also about making sure that watermen can maintain their way of life. It might not be exactly the same way you harvest whatever it is that your grandfather did, but we want watermen to still be able to make a living working on the water.
Hang on there, Carol.
We see the oyster restoration as a part of that process.
Absolutely. Hang on a minute.
Sure.
Okay. Pardon me. Got to tell the folks about the 2015 annual Sportsman's Auction at Stauffer's Auction Company. It's a live webcast auction. Yep, you can go right on the website. You can bid now. If you see something you'd like to bid on, put a bid in, and there's a way there that you can sign up and bid for over 200 firearms that are in this auction. But if you'd like to attend today, it's today at 2 p.m. It's at 21140 Leadersburg Pike in Hagerstown, Maryland. Of course, there's going to be a buyer's premium charge on all your purchases and things like that. So when you check out at the end of the day, they're going to add everything up that you bought, and then they'll add their little premium charge onto that. But it is the 2015 annual Sportsman Auction. If you have a local FFL dealer, you're going to need to talk to them and say, hey, I bought this. I'm shipping it to you. But I'd like you to take a look at this website and see everything that's going to be available today. They've updated it from 191 to 215, lots, they call them, on this auction. And that website is Stauffer's, Stauffer's Auction, Auction Co. Stauffer's Auction Co. for company.com. Stauffer's Auction. I mean, if you Google Stauffer's Auction, you're going to find it. But I hope to see you at the 2015 annual Sportsman Auction today, starting at 2 o'clock, 21140 Leadersburg Pike in Hagerstown. Thanks, Denny Stauffer, for that. The Maryland Fishing Challenge is a free year-round fishing tournament hosted by Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for all recreational anglers. And you know that we've talked about it a long, long time. It's set to, it's nearly 70 species of fish, game fish here in Maryland. There's an Atlantic Division, a Catch and Release Division, Invasive Species Division, a Freshwater, Chesapeake Bay, and even a Youth Division collected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. Catch a fish of a notable specified size, you get your official angler award certificate, and an invitation to the grand finale next September. Go online to dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. Get all the rules and regulations. Just go fishing. Enjoy it. And hopefully you will catch an entry in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Hey, hunters, you could win a $500 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons as funding allows. Maryland is divided into three regions with 20 chances to win in each region, plus Junior Hunt Days drawings. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor, fill out the entry card, that's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2015 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit www.fhfh.org. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back with Carol McCullough of the Phillips Wharf Environmental Center in Tillman. Carol, real quick, we just want to wrap it up here, invite the folks to the Oyster Day, and invite them to, what's it called? The Oyster Jam. Oyster Jam, yeah, and invite them to visit the website and maybe make a contribution. PWEC.org, PWEC, Phillips Wharf Environmental Center. And I want to thank you for being our guest this morning.
Thank you, Alan, for the opportunity to talk to your listeners, and I hope to see very many of them come and visit us at Phillips Wharf.
I hope so, too. All right, Carol, thanks for being with us today. Take care.
Thanks.
All righty. And there goes Carol from PWEC.org and the Oyster Restoration Program. All right, folks.